Let me just remind you quickly of what we've gone over so far. We've had two lessons so far in this financial series. The first one was laying the foundation of stewardship. Remember that we talked about the fact that a foundation of a proper perspective relating to money is the understanding of stewardship, that it all belongs to God, and any money that comes to us, we are simply managing that money for God. As Christians, that is the case. It's not our money, it's God's money, and He is funneling it through us, and it is our job to steward it well and to make wise decisions on how to invest that money for His priorities. And that's important to keep in mind. Last week, we talked about frugality. Oh, another one that was everyone's favorite, I'm sure. And I've been picking on different people about, I saw somebody drinking water out of bottled water. Boy, I thought you listened to me. No, and I'm teasing, right? It's not that you can't ever drink bottled water. I hope you didn't take it that way, but you know, just ways, hopefully, that I gave you that well might help your finances if you're finding it hard to make ends meet. There are a lot of times ways that you can cut costs, right? We talked about different areas of frugality and the importance of frugality, that frugality really has three keys. The first one is being content. With whatever God has given us for an income, we ought to be content with such things that we have been given. And then we ought to learn to conserve. Whatever God has given, we ought to make it go as far as we possibly can. That's conservation. And then prudence, thinking ahead to the future and recognizing it may not always be this way. Therefore, I need to take what I have and use it wisely because, again, it may not always be a wonderful financial situation like it is now. Or maybe it's not that way for you, but we ought to be prudent anyway. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about budgeting. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14 is a passage of Scripture that does not specifically mention a budget, as you won't find that in God's Word, but it does talk about planning and preparation and sitting down and counting the cost. And that's something that is a principle that is in life. It's one of those principles that goes beyond whether or not you're a Christian. It's just a principle that God put in life, that a wise man will sit down and count the cost of what he's about to spend. Luke 14 shows us that, verse 25. Jesus puts it in the context of serving him. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And of course, again, Jesus is talking there about the fact that if we're thinking that we want to follow him, we have to count the cost, don't we? And that's very true. It will cost us to follow the Lord Jesus. So we ought to sit down and look, do I have enough desire to serve the Lord that I'm willing to put aside these other things? And in comparison to my love for God, I hate my father, mother, brethren, etc. That's a good truth that we need to grab a hold of. But it's also, again, a principle that applies across all of our life. We need to count the cost. And in your finances, you need to count the cost. This is one of the many areas, remember, in finances, where if we don't have our finances in order, then we are not living a balanced Christian life. Again, you can be a great soul winner. You can have the right doctrine and the right standards. You can go to a great church like ours and have a great family life and all the rest of things, and those are good, and I hope you do those things. But again, if you don't have your finances in order, then you're not still what God wants you to be. This is an important area of our life. As you can see on the front page of your notes there, for a Christian, money is stewardship, and we cannot be good stewards without a plan. We cannot be good stewards without a plan. If we know that we're supposed to be stewards, then we've got to plan. And if we are not planning, then we're not being good stewards. We can have in our mind, well, it all works, and at the end of the month, I'm always in the black, and that's good. I hope it is that way for you, but if you got there by accident, then you're not being wise. And the truth of the matter is, I think I know enough about life to know if you're not planning, you're not in the black every month. You're ending up in the red more than likely if you're not planning. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the notes. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people, even though it is on a very practical subject that maybe we don't think of often when we read your word. I do thank you that your word has so much in it that is applicable to everyday life, including and especially our finances. Lord, I pray that you would enable me to preach your word with power and authority. And Lord, would you help us to be faithful, to be good stewards of the finances that you have put into our accounts by planning where that money should go by budgeting. Lord, would you help anyone here who maybe has budgeted in the past and has gotten away from it, that they would be reminded again of the need to begin to budget again. For someone who has never done it, Lord, that you would take away any fear or shame that they might feel, and Lord, that you might even help them to be determined tonight at the end of this to begin to plan and carefully steward the money that you give them. And then, Lord, even for those who are faithful budgeters for a long time, would you help them even maybe to see another area that they could even improve in what they've already been doing? I ask that you'd help and help me in the same areas. Dear Lord, I pray, use this message to bring honor and glory to your name and to help your people to be balanced Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. As you open your notes there, in the introduction, I put in some thoughts, okay? So I put it in here as a quote, and I shouldn't have done that. I realized it after I printed it off from Dave Ramsey, okay? Dave Ramsey is a very famous financial guy. You may hear him on talk radio from time to time. And I shouldn't have put it as a quote because this is not a direct quote. I apologize for that. But this is something that he says in general, and it stands out to me often, and it convicts me. And it has to do with stewardship. Here's basically what he says. If you were the head of a corporation and you were looking to hire a manager for you incorporated, all right? In other words, if you are a corporation and you're looking to hire a manager for you incorporated, would you hire yourself to manage your finances for you incorporated? Based on what you know about how you're handling your finances, if you were the head of a corporation and you were going to hire somebody to manage or steward, we could say, the finances for you incorporated, would you be on even the top 10 of your list of people that you would want to hire? And if not, why not? Is it because you've not been faithful? Is it because you're not diligent in that area? It's a great question to ask ourselves, isn't it? A very convicting question. If we were being paid for managing our finances, would we be hired again or would we be fired? Would our contract be renewed or would the CEO be glad to let our contract expire and say, hit the door? That's a great question. The next bullet point in the introduction is, do you have a plan for the money that comes into your accounts on a monthly basis? You have money that's going to be coming into your accounts. Do you have a plan for it? The third bullet point is, do you know how much money that you should be spending on your next grocery trip? Whenever that is, if you shop weekly or biweekly or monthly or however often you shop, when you go to the grocery store, do you go into that grocery store with an idea, here's the amount of money I can spend and still be okay? Or do you go in just with no plan? From what I've heard in preparing for this message, 6 out of 10 Americans, and I'd think it's probably even higher than that, but 6 out of 10 Americans don't have a budget. They just kind of fly by the seat of their pants when it comes to how much money they can spend. What about, still in the middle of that third bullet point, what about the amount that you can spend on clothing? Do you know? We're in the beginning of March now. Do you have an idea of how much you can spend on clothes this month for yourself, for the children, or is it just kind of something that you just do? And then the last one is probably more applicable to all of us. Can you afford to stop by Culver's on your way home tonight? And you say, well, Pastor, I mean, I make X amount of dollars every year. Of course I can afford to stop by Culver's. Well, wait a minute. You could make $200,000 a year and still not be able to afford Culver's. There are people right now that make well over 6 figures that should not stop by McDonald's for the dollar menu, which doesn't exist anymore, by the way. Right? There are people who, again, should not buy anything extra, though they make over six figures. What about you? Can you afford to go to Culver's? And I'm not saying, you know, are you wealthy or not wealthy? I'm just saying, do you even know? Is that money that you have in your account, if you were to pull up your phone, if you are like me and you kind of use your phone to have an app for your bank and you could look up the account and you could see how much money is in your account, that let's just say you have $500 in your account or $1,000 or $2,000 in your account, is that money free to be spent on something like giving the kids some custard from Culver's, or is that money already promised to someone else? Do you even know? You see, we should, shouldn't we? Because we're stewards of that money. The $500 or $2,000 or whatever dollars that are in your account, remember, that's God's money. And you're the manager of it. And if God came to you and said, what is that $500 supposed to be spent on? Could you give an answer? Tonight, I want to give you three questions. First of all, what does the Bible say about budgeting, even though the word budget is not mentioned in the Bible? Number two, why should I budget? And number three, how should I budget? Let's start with number one, what does the Bible say about budgeting? Well, although it does not mention the word, the principle of being wise and stewarding the money, of course, is there. Letter A, the prudent man pays attention to where he is headed. Some of these verses we've shared in previous notes. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to, what are the next three words? Understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent man is to understand his way. He knows where he's going. And he knows the path of how to get there. Now, we realize that life has many variables, and we can't always know 10 years down the road where God is going to have us. But as a general rule, the things within our control, if we are wise, we know where we're going, and we know the path that we plan to take to get there. This last week, I took a trip to Knoxville, Tennessee, to take my kids down to view a college that was there. And we had a safe trip, and it was a blessing. We had a good time. I appreciate you praying for us. But of course, one of the things I did very early on is I went on Google Maps and I looked at what is the way to go. How do I get there? By the way, I still miss the old Rand McNally atlases. It's just way better to get a bigger view, right? Amen. Us old people like that. And some of you that are older than me are laughing at me, but I can't stand it on the phone. I want to be able to plan my way. I don't want Google telling me where to go. Amen. All right. But listen, first thing I did is look, what is the plan? How can I get there? One of the things that I noticed, by the way, is once I got south of Chicago, and I was so happy to get south of Chicago. Amen? Amen. That'll preach too. But once I got then to Indianapolis, I had a choice. I could go basically straight south, a little bit east, or I could go very east over to Cincinnati. It was about the same amount of time, but I could save myself a couple of dollars in tolls by heading over to Cincinnati. And so, being the frugal man that I am, that's exactly what I did. But I had a plan. I knew where I was going. I wanted to see the whole way, and then I wanted to figure out, okay, I'm going to take this highway, and then this highway, and this and this highway. And I had to trust the map a little bit, but that would get me to Knoxville, Tennessee. And indeed, it did. Well, listen, we ought to be that way with our finances. God's word says that a wise man or a prudent man has some wisdom, and that wisdom is to understand his way. You ought to understand your finances. In order to do that, you need a budget. Letter B, another thing that the Word of God says about budgeting is that there are no little things when it comes to stewardship. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. There are no little things. So again, you might have a situation where you say, okay, well, in my account, I don't really know what's there, but I always stay in the black and I don't overdraft and it's okay. That is not good stewardship, and that is not a little thing. Could I challenge you with something? And I don't want to make anyone feel bad because, again, I've messed up probably more than most in here. And again, I am not an overly organized person, and that is one of my weaker areas of my life. But can I tell you that it is not a little thing to overdraft our accounts? That is not a little thing. That shows a lack of taking God's priorities seriously. That shows a lack of being diligent and taking life seriously. And sometimes, whether we are 15 or 25 or 55 or even older, it's time to grow up and recognize that there are no little things. That if I want God to bless me in greater areas, you know where it starts? It starts in keeping track of my finances and planning. And God's more likely to bless me with greater things if I will take the little things, quote unquote, seriously. Letter C, God gives true riches to those who steward earthly riches. That's from Luke 16, 11 to 12, the very next verses. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Again, this is a principle of budgeting, that God gives true riches to those who steward earthly riches. Could it be that if I will begin to get serious about my finances and begin to budget my finances, could it be that God would even open up some spiritual truth to me? Well, that's the principle there, isn't it? That if I'm taking the stewardship of His money lightly, that God's principle is, why should I open up to you the true riches? Because if you're not a steward of the finances I give you, you won't be a steward of the truth I give you either. You see the connection there? The Apostle Paul was a steward of the gospel, wasn't he? Well, he was given that because he said to Timothy that God hath enabled me in that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Why was he in the ministry? Not because he was talented, but because he was faithful. And so God opened up a door of ministry to him greater than anyone outside of the Lord Jesus Christ in our New Testament age. And that's because he was faithful. That's God's principle, isn't it? Letter D, here's another subject that the Bible talks about in budgeting. You can either serve your money or your money will serve you. Luke 16, 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What I mean by my statement about that verse is this. I can either serve God or I can serve money, but I can't serve both. Which means if I'm going to serve money, then I'm just going to be living for money. But if I'm serving God, then what I'm going to be doing is managing the money. So in other words, this, I can either serve my money or I can make my money serve me. As I serve God, money then becomes a tool to help me serve God. Can you see that? That's how, by the way, I can feel okay with having a certain amount of money set aside to go to Culver's with my kids, because that's a time of refreshment, a time of enjoyment to enable us and strengthen us to then serve the Lord. My money is now serving me and not the other way around, okay? So letter E, another way that the Bible speaks of budgeting is that God blesses the diligent. Let's quickly turn over to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, verse 23. God blesses the diligent. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Anybody have any flocks or herds at home? I know I don't. No sheep, no oxen, nothing like that at home, all right? But I do have, again, I have accounts. I have bank accounts. I have even a small IRA, a Roth IRA that I'm putting money into for the time when I'm no longer able to work and I want to be able to support myself and not have to be a drain on anyone else. So that is a flock or a herd that I am investing into that someday hopefully it will be able to pay me back a little bit. Okay? I have that kind of herd. So be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? If you have money in your pocket, does that last forever? No, the Bible tells us in other places that it makes wings and flies away, doesn't it? Verse 25, the hay appeareth and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of thy field, or of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. Don't quote me on this. Don't argue with anybody based on what I tell you. But I believe personally that what that verse is teaching us is that God supplies enough for every man to be able to provide for himself and his family. That within the realm of what God has given you, there is the ability, if you will be diligent, if you will look well to it, God has just supplied that nature in general is here to feed us and to provide for us. And if we'll be diligent and look to it, and we'll take it seriously, that it will be enough to supply for us. But we have to be diligent. We have to look diligently at it. God blesses the diligent. Look at Proverbs 24. Here's letter F, the final point under what does the Bible say about budgeting. Proverbs 24. In other words, this, by the way, when we're talking about the previous point, if God provides enough for every man to provide for himself, what that means is this, that as a general rule, within your income, probably is enough for you to live on. But you have to budget. More than likely, it is enough for you to live on. But many times we don't budget, and we spend whatever we, you know, comes into our mind or whatever is there, and then we wonder why at the end of the month we don't have enough to make ends meet. Because we haven't been diligent. Look at Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. A minor lack of diligence can destroy. Chapter 24, verse 30, where the Bible says there, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That is a warning against laziness, isn't it? And that can be applied to our finances, that when we are not diligent, when we're not taking care of them, when we're not planning, it only takes a little bit of a lack of diligence, and our finances can be described as all grown over with thorns and having nettles covering the face thereof and the wall being broken down. It's possible that our finances would be described that way, all because we did not do our due diligence and we had a little bit of a lack of diligence, and it only takes a little. So we need to budget. That's what the Bible says. That leads us to number two in your notes. Why should I budget? Some of these will be self-explanatory. Letter A, to be a good steward. Luke 16, verse 1, then he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had, what's that next word? Wasted his goods. This is a parable that Jesus gave of an unjust steward. But the first accusation against that unjust steward is, you've wasted the goods. And I need to budget, because if I don't budget, I will waste the goods that God has placed in my hand. I can remember it well. I can remember being a teenager and working many hours at different places. I worked a couple of different places. Jan will remember we worked together at Hardee's, didn't we, Jan? Quite a few hours we worked together there at the Hardee's right over here that's now Dave's Hot Chicken, but worked a lot of hours there. I did not enjoy working. I don't know about anybody else, but fast food is not a fun job. That was the hardest I've worked for the least amount of money. And I mean, I felt like if I took a moment to take a deep breath and just go, oh, they would say, hey, get a rag and clean something. Stop standing around. That's the way I felt like it was, right? It was just that way. It was good for me as a teenager, I suppose, but I didn't like it. I worked a lot of hours. I worked for a short time at Zimbrick Buick right up here on High Crossing Boulevard as a detailer in their detailing department. Worked there for a short time. My very first job was at a call center over here just off of Hayes Road, and I worked with John Vanderhoof there, and we did surveys, phone surveys. I was that annoying guy who called you and said, hey, would you like to do a survey? And I hated that job. I worked a lot of hours, jobs that I hated. And there came a time when I had been out of high school for about a year, and I finally decided, okay, I need to go to college. And I went to Bible college, drove all the way down to Oklahoma City, and I had nothing in my pocket. And I had worked all those hours as a teenager, and lots of money had come into my accounts, because I did. I worked a lot. But here's what I did. Listen, I had no plan. There was no plan to save. There was no plan to save up money for college. There was no plan to do anything. It was a meal from Hardee's here, and a shake from wherever there, and a trip to Great America here, and did a lot of skiing, i.e. hurting my knee now. A lot of spending money on lift tickets to ski at Cascade, and the money was here and the money was there. There was no plan. And when it came time to go to college, it meant that I had to work my tail off, and I did the entire 4 years I was there, 40 hours a week plus school. And it was hard work, all because I didn't plan. The money was there, and I had lots, but I spent it all. I should have been a good steward, and I was not. I wasted the goods that were given to me, not in big things. I didn't make any large purchases, but it was death by a thousand little cuts. And isn't that, by the way, usually the way it is in our finances? It's financial suicide by a thousand little cuts. We need to be a good steward. We need to have a budget. Letter B, to be prudent. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Again, he's paying attention. Where do I want to go with this? Letter C, to do all things decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. That's within the church, but it is a principle that God expects in all of our life. Christians ought to do things decently and in order. And you cannot run your finances well if you're not budgeting. You just can't, okay? Letter D, to bring God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we talked about this morning, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Letter E, and this is important, to guard against foolish spending. I need a budget, or I will spend foolishly. I need that guardrail. It is very similar to a fence over the Grand Canyon, or at the edge of the Grand Canyon. I need that budget, because if not, I'll just wander around. This is my nature. And by the way, you're a human being like me. Most of you are not naturally savers. And if we're not careful and we don't do a budget, we'll just kind of wander around and our head is in the clouds, or we're like that person who's texting while they're walking with their cell phone and they end up in the pool at the mall. You've seen those videos where they end up in the pool because they weren't watching. That's the way we will be with our finances. We need that guard. Roman numeral 1 under letter E, here's a quote from John Maxwell. He's quoted as saying that a budget is you telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. That's a good quote. That's true, isn't it? It's you telling your money where to go. Rachel Cruz, who, by the way, is Dave Ramsey's daughter, she says that creating and following a budget does not take away your ability to spend. Instead, it gives you permission to spend. It gives you permission to spend. Now, I don't make a lot of money. I make enough to get by, and I'm happy and content. I don't make a lot of money. I don't have a lot of extra. But you remember that question? Can you afford to go to Culver's after the service is over? Now, we're not going to Culver's, kids, all right? Rachel and Julianne, sorry to break your heart, all right? We're not going to Culver's after the service because Dad's also frugal. But listen, I can afford to go to Culver's. I could take my kids to get that ice cream, and I have confidence. Why? Because I have permission to spend that much. It's the early part of March. And there's money in the budget, budgeted specifically for little things like that. And if we want to, we can. And I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel bad about it. I've got other things that my money can go to, but I've set aside, I've taken some time, I've sat down, I've planned it, and I know that I have a certain amount of money. It's permission to spend it. And it's guilt-free. Don't you wish cake was guilt-free? Well, spending can be if you use a budget. And then you follow it, of course. Letter F. Here's another reason why I should budget: to evaluate and inform if adjustments need to be made. A budget helps me, again, plan. Do I need to make an adjustment somewhere? I don't do this, but you can buy software or use software or just, I mean, the internet is a wonderful tool these days. I think one of the greatest tools is a pie chart. You remember those from high school? Pie charts are great because it's good to see in a pie chart, where's my money going? And sometimes we have one area that's eating up a lot of money and we can see, man, that's eating up a large portion of the pie. And a budget helps me do that by laying it all out and planning ahead. And it's a blessing that way. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Notice this part now. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, how can you give richly and abundantly to others so that you're laying up a treasure in heaven if you don't have a plan for your money? If you don't have a plan, you won't give greatly. It's just not the way it goes. You'll spend it on other things. If you use a budget, you can look and say, hey, you know what? I think we're spending too much on, for instance, cable. We're spending too much here. And look, we're spending more on cable than we are on Faith Promise Missions. That shows a lack of priorities, doesn't it? Well, how else can I see that my priorities are wrong if that's the case? A budget helps me see that. I'm planning it out. Oh, look. Wait a minute. I'm spending more on, you know, whatever I could list. I thought bottled water. I'll pick on that. Or Kevin Grossen is here. Garage sailing. But I know Kevin enough to know, by the way, he does that on a budget. He budgets an amount for garage sailing. I know Kevin enough to know that. He's a wise man with his finances. But listen, I spend more on bottled water than I do on, you know, helping out a missionary or whatever, a thousand different things that we could say, right? That a budget helps me to see that. So it is important. Let's move on. We want to get to number three, and I don't want to keep you long. Number three, then, how should I budget? How is that done? And I'm not going to go into a lot of specifics here. Again, if you want some help, I'd be glad to meet with you and help you. Letter A, first of all, a budget should be written. You do not tell me, please do not come and say, Pastor, I budget, but it's all up here. I won't answer you. I will just walk away shaking my head. Okay? A budget needs to be written. Okay? If it's not written down, it ain't happening. Letter B, budgeting should be based on your take-home pay. Okay, that means after Uncle Sam gets his big grubby fingers in there and takes a good portion of your check, you need to budget based on what you take home. That should be self-explanatory. Letter C, budgeting should be zero-based. And here's what that means. That means you take your income, you subtract your expenses, and it should equal zero. That's zero-based, okay? Take your income, subtract from that all of your expenses, and you should be at zero. If you subtract and you are in the negative, then that means you need to make some adjustments in your expenses and you need to reduce those. If you do that math and you have more than zero left, in other words, it's in the positive end, let's say you end up with an extra $50, don't leave that. Make a plan. Remember, you're a steward of that $50. It needs to be told where to go. It needs a master. And guess who's the master of that $50? God has made you the master of that $50. So plan. Tell it where to go. And it might just go into a savings account or a CD or an IRA or to a missionary or, you know, to help send a kid to camp or whatever. But plan for it to go somewhere based on what are God's priorities. Here's some extra money. What would God want this money to go toward? That's a zero-based budget. Roman numeral 2, under that, every dollar should be assigned a place in the budget, every single dollar. You need to plan every single dollar, even the frivolous things, the going to Culver's or whatever. Roman numeral 3, there should be no deficit spending. Again, we are not Congress. And by the way, this ought to make every American angry. I saw a headline the other day, approximately every 100 days, our debt, national debt, grows by $1 trillion. Every 100 days. Yeah, that's not going to last long. There is coming a time where it will end, and I don't think it'll be good. By the way, that means you need to get on a budget. Okay? We're not Congress, so there should be no deficit spending. It's not, well, I'm spending more because I'm just in a certain time of life or whatever situation. If there is something that happened, then you need to drastically reduce expenses. All right. Letter D, budgeting should be a combined effort. That means all income should be included in the budget. Husbands and wives, your incomes together need to be included in the budget. Your incomes together need to be included in the budget. There should not be a his budget and a her budget. You are a married couple. Yes, when you said I do, you became one, all right? The money should be together. That doesn't mean that she can't have her own spending money and he can't have his own spending money. I would encourage you, in fact, to do that. But when you make a budget, it is a combined effort of husband and wife, all the money coming in together, and then you divvy it from there, all right? This is just wise for your marriage. Letter E, budgeting should be constantly adjusted. Every month before the start of the month, you need to look at the coming month. If you, by the way, especially if you get paid weekly, every 3 months, you're going to have one with an extra paycheck in there. So keep that in mind. Taking into account the seasons of life and the time of year. I am in an expensive time of life right now because I have kids who are either young adults or teenagers. It's an expensive time of life in electricity and gas and food, right? It's expensive. I'm knowing that it's going to go down sooner or later, okay? But they're worth it. All right. You're welcome. So you need to take into account your season of life that you're in and the time of year. What I mean by time of year is, well, let's see here. It is March right now. Summer is coming up. Are you planning to take a vacation? Are you just going to put that vacation on the credit card? I hope not. Might be wise to plan for that. What about every December? There's a certain holiday that rolls around called Christmas, and it comes every year. Are you thinking about that and planning on that? How are you going to buy the kids' presents? Are you budgeting for that? You should be. Or again, are you just planning to put it on the credit card? If you are, that's not wise stewardship. That's foolishness. We need to be planning ahead, all right? Letter F, budget recommendations. And friends, these are only recommendations, all right? Only recommendations. Generalities. For each one, it'll be a little bit different. Based on your income, it'll be a little bit different. But here are some general ideas. If you've never done a budget before, here's a good place to start. Obviously, you ought to begin with giving to the Lord. Tithe. Give him the 10% automatically right off the top. That's what we do as a family. Second, your housing should be approximately 25 to 35% of your take-home pay. Or I just put 30% is a good general round number. And again, it may be different for you. That's fine as long as all the percentages at the end add up to 100. Okay? Utilities, a good number is about 10%. Food, more or less 15%. Clothing, 5%. Transportation, 10%. Insurance, 10%. Remember, there's insurance of, you know, your car, there's your house insurance, there's life insurance, and there is insurance for if you're renting a house, it's wise to have that, renter's insurance. And then Roman numeral 8 there, miscellaneous, 10%. What I mean by miscellaneous is you might want to have some subcategories. In fact, I would encourage you to have subcategories, but that would be just things like an uncategorized amount. There are things that come up every month that are not normal, okay? And so they're uncategorized. They're just little things that you want or need that aren't easily placed somewhere else. It's good to have an amount that's just an uncategorized amount that is budgeted every month. And then you ought to have some fun money set aside. That's the idea of what I was talking about going to Culver's afterwards. An amount that's budgeted. This is the amount I'm going to spend on that kind of stuff every month. And once that's gone, that's it. Then we're not going to Culver's or whatever. We're going to Culver's and we're drinking water, okay, or whatever. But that's what we are doing. Instead of going to Culver's, we are going to the Green Food Fellowship, okay? Something like that. Now, underneath almost each of those, there can be subcategories. For instance, housing. In my case, there are subcategories under that of the mortgage and home insurance I put under the housing and, you know, things like that. You can do all of that with each of those. But those are good generalities. Now, I would encourage you, when you first begin budgeting, give it about 90 days, about 3 months of going through it before you just decide this is it, it's frustrating, I'm giving up. It'll take you a little bit of time to get your feet solid on how to do a budget and what those expenses should be. And the first month, you're probably going to be way off. That's okay, all right? Second month, adjust based on what you saw. By the way, not only do you need to make a budget, but you need to track your expenses. And you need to be able to know, okay, I budgeted $500 or whatever for food, and we spent $650. All right, well, we're either going to have to reduce that next month or increase the budget, one of the two. So you want to track those expenses. Give yourself about 90 days. Now, there are a couple different forms you can use. I like Dave Ramsey's products just because I think he has a good Christian-based idea of money. He's not perfect in everything. I don't agree with everything he says, and especially when he gives life advice. I think his life advice is pretty poor, okay? But when it comes to money, I think he has some wisdom there. And he has a free app that you can get for your phone, and I would encourage you to get it if you would rather use an app. I don't prefer the app myself personally, but it's called Every Dollar, and it's free. And it'll help you make a budget, and it'll help you track your expenses every month. It's a great choice. Or you can use a piece of paper the old-fashioned way. And I have a template, by the way, that I can help you with if you need one. It's one, again, I got from Dave Ramsey. I don't use a paper one personally. I told you last week I use an Excel spreadsheet. If you would like a copy of a general budget and how to use it in the Excel spreadsheet format or even a Google, is it called Google Sheets? Is their version of Excel? I think that's right. Google Sheets format. I am willing to give you that file. It's just a general one, and I'll show you how to adjust it for yourself personally if you would like. Or I'll give you the paper copy template if you would like that. But I would encourage you to do that. Why? Because you're a steward of God's money. And if you and I will begin to take seriously what God puts into our hands and into our accounts, a couple of things will happen. Number one, our stress level will go down. Our marriage will improve. Our spiritual life will improve. I believe God will even begin to bless our finances more because we begin to take things seriously and recognize that we're stewards. And then I believe even our spiritual lives will improve because as we're stewards of the little things, God will then make us faithful stewards or entrust to our stewardship greater things, i.e. spiritual things. And I want to encourage you with that. Lord willing, next week we won't be in finances because Brother Barber will be with us. We'll be in the middle of our spring revival. But then the next week we're going to talk about another area of finances. We have a couple more to go, and I would encourage you to be prepared for that on the 17th and be ready for that. Let's pray, and then I will let you go, and we'll dismiss to our fellowship. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the time that we have had tonight, the things that we've been able to look at. Lord, we have talked about some just practical things, and Lord, of course, we've looked in your word and seen that we are to be prudent and good stewards and give you glory. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us in this area of budgeting, that we would begin to be faithful stewards of the money that you place in our care. Thank you for counting us faithful and giving us money. But Lord, forgive us. We've not been the good stewards that we should be. Help us, I pray. Now, dear Lord, I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. Lord, would you bless the food that we're about to partake of? Bless it to our bodies. Bless the hands that prepared it, the individuals who took time and love and care and attention to put together good food for us. Lord, bless them for that. And then, Lord, would you help our fellowship to bring honor and glory to you, I pray. I thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.